Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. In 2014, then-Governor of California, Jerry Brown, attended the UN Secretary General's Climate Summit in New York, and he participated in forums on carbon pricing in the private sector and cutting carbon emissions at the city level. At the same time, and not coincidentally, UC Davis released a transportation study that said this: there is a pathway for the world to save $100 trillion in spending and reduce carbon dioxide emissions by up to 1,700 megatons per year. In 2014, those were very big numbers, and they still are. The report came from UC Davis's Institute of Transportation Studies and Dr. Lou Fulton. He is co-director of the Next Steps program within the Institute, and he joined us to explain the study.
It's a very data-oriented study, and then we use a global data set to make projections about where transportation, in particular urban transportation, is headed out to 2050.
So those projections are designed to look at what's existing and what the trends are and what could be if what?
There are two parts, really. There are two scenarios that we look at. There's a baseline scenario where we look at how the combination of rapid migration to urban cities and rapid growth in incomes around the world will lead to much more travel in urban areas. We expect the global urban population, the UN has made the projection that it will double from today's level of 3.5 billion people to 7 mm-hmm. billion people by 2050. So we're just getting an explosion of urbanization around the world. And we looked at what does that mean for transport. And if we don't change the trends, we are likely to see very car-dominated cities all over the world. And among the various impacts that that would have is quite high CO2 emissions rather than the reduction in CO2 emissions that we really need as part of dealing with climate change. We also looked at this alternative possible future, which we call the high shift scenario, where cities invest far more into transit systems, bike lanes, other kinds of non-motorized systems, and also a lot more densification of cities. The idea is if cities grew in the direction of, let's say, European cities or some of the more successful transportation successful cities like Shanghai in China, they can have a far less car-dominated urban transport system compared to if they grow in the direction of, let's say, cities like Houston or Los Angeles, which are very sprawlish and very car-dominated. So those are the two kinds of futures we're comparing.
The basic concepts seem to make sense, that if you use mass transit, if you walk more, if you bike more, you're going to save money in a city and you're going to save CO2 emissions. That's one thing. But these numbers are so big, $100 trillion. Does this end up being like what they call the latte factor, that it's just a little bit saved over a long period of time in a lot of ways?
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot of people over a 40-year projection from 2010 to 2050. And we do spend a lot of money on travel. As a society around the world, we're spending several thousand dollars per year per person. And we included four kinds of expenditures. So there are private and public expenditures in here. There's the cost of buying and operating cars. There's the cost of building and maintaining roads. We looked at parking, and it's amazing how much we do spend and will need to spend on parking facilities around the world to park all those cars. And we looked at the cost of building and operating transit systems and other kinds of infrastructure. And we also looked at the fuel costs of all these things. And in the baseline, to do all that in all the cities around the world to 2050, it's a $500 trillion picture. It's just a big part of the economy around the world. In our high shift scenario, you have a lot of savings from having fewer cars and less road infrastructure and less parking infrastructure. You are spending a lot more on transit, and you also do have a lot of savings on fuel around the world, and that saves $100 trillion.
Northern California prides itself on the volume of bikers and walkers that we have and the fact that we do use alternative transportation, especially in this Central Valley, Sacramento region. Where is our behavior compared to what you call high shift?
Well, I think for the United States, the kinds of trends that we're seeing in this region are great. And there are targets that Governor Brown and California legislature have set. and hopefully we'll achieve some of those targets in terms of increased travel outside of single-occupant vehicles.
So we aren't here yet at the jump bar of the study?
Well, no. I mean, I think on a per-person basis, we have to be honest here, the U.S. is a very high travel per capita in cars compared to most of the world. And we're beginning to change direction. The total car travel in the United States has been dropping in the last few years, certainly on a per capita basis. So we have to try to accelerate that and continue to try to make investments that help us do that.
I do want to hit this aspect of the savings of megatons of CO2. And connected to that is an interesting category of study, and that is lives that could be saved with a reduction of emissions. Will you talk about that?
That's actually more connected to the co-benefit of reduced air pollution. And you would get a significant reduction in air pollution from this shift. We also include that we would make our vehicles much cleaner in terms of the air pollution emissions. So those are things like particulate matter and NOx emissions. And in this high shift scenario, we do achieve over 1 million lives saved in the 35-year period between now and 2050 compared to a baseline that also does not have the level of emissions control that we put on. But there's also a huge benefit in terms of the reduced CO2 emissions. Transportation currently accounts for about a quarter of the world's CO2. In this scenario, we're cutting that number by about 40% for urban transport from about it's 4.4 gigatons or 4,400 megatons in 2050 in the baseline. And that comes down to 2.7 gigatons or 2,700 megatons in our high shift scenario. So that's a 1,700 megaton savings in 2050 around the world. That's a pretty significant reduction for this sector. It's going to take reductions like that across all different sectors. And we were focusing on this one. But this is one way we can do it. We also do have to move toward very low carbon vehicles. And that'll take fuel economy improvements and shifts to electric and hydrogen types of vehicles, maybe more biofuels. And eventually, in the 2050 to 2070 timeframe, we really have to try to push toward going to a zero emission system. So we need all the pieces.
Some of this naturally ties together. Emissions reduce if you reduce the number of cars on the road. But you could also argue that policy will require a focus on each area separately. So where are we stronger right now in reducing and improving our transportation system or reducing and improving our CO2 emissions?
Well, they're very similar. I mean, these things all align. And I think that's one of the messages here is that if we can improve our transportation systems, get out of traffic jams by traveling in a range of modes, we will also cut CO2 emissions. We can cut pollution emissions. We will cut the jams. And there's a huge cost savings associated with getting rid of traffic jams. So it's all about the fact that all of this makes sense if you add it all up and look across all these different indicators. But it does take a lot of political will because it's a very active planning kind of scenario, whereas the baseline that becomes more car-oriented is a bit more of a laissez-faire. You know, in the lack of good governance around the world, that's what happens. A lot of this is about political will.
You hoped, because it's the first of its kind of study, that it would get into somebody's hands where it had meaning and influence. Who's receiving it? What are you hearing back about the work?
Since it's a global study, we're pushing it in many countries, and it's showing up in the press in different countries. It will get talked about today in a couple of the sessions. There are transport sessions today in New York. And then it's a big question of following up and hoping that, you know, one of the key focuses of the climate summit in New York is to get governments to make commitments. We are not pushing for any particular specific commitments in this report, but hopefully it will lead to, for example, commitments to increase the investments in transit and non-motorized, such as bike lane infrastructure around the world. That'll be something that we're involved with coming out of this climate summit.
Dr. Lou Fulton from the UC Davis Institute of Transportation Studies talking with us in 2014. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.